No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Welcome to Drinking Bros Sports, brought to you by KillCliffCBD.com. Sit back, relax, and grab a fucking drink.
Go to DrinkinBrosTickets.com for all your ticketing needs. Want to sit with Dan and I at your favorite events? Go to DrinkinBrosTickets.com today.
We're in Dan's fancy new place. As you can see, downtown Austin is behind us.
It's a big-ass park right here. Downtown Austin's right there.
It's great. So,
and this is west, by the way, so every day is sunset.
Correct. And if you don't know, Dan is actually a huge wine connoisseur. Mm-hmm. We talked about tryfirstleaf.com/drinkingbros the other day. That's the dream, by the way. And everywhere you go, you've always had 60 bottles. Mm-hmm. So since it's the first day in your place, we're drinking one of your faves here. But dude, everybody's going to that tryfirstleaf.com/drinkingbros.
I'm a part of, before First Leaf came out as a sponsor, I was a part of 3 different wine clubs. And I get like about seven or eight bottles a month from those 3 clubs. And nothing is as good as First Leaf. Not the wine itself. They're a curator of wine. So the wine's always going to be good. But it's the program itself, how it learns what wines you like and gives you flexibility. You can switch it to all reds or all whites or any combination of those two. And you can fucking switch it to domestic or imported wines, whatever you like.
Right.
I mean, it's the perfect system. They built the perfect system. Just like Black Rifle did with the coffee club, just like Box of Awesome did with the subscription thing. Like, all these people are figuring this shit out now, finally.
And we're gigantic fans. I know that girl on The Bachelor, by the way, was doing a thing for white wines.
Oh, yeah.
And she had a White Lives Matter shirt on, and she got the boot for that. White wines. You're welcome.
I got to say, the White Lives Matter and All Lives Matter and Blue Lives Matter thing, like, yes, that is all true. I think BLM would be better served if they called themselves Black Lives Matter 2.
Two.
Right?
Okay.
Yeah. Like, this BLM and the number 2.
Okay.
I think it would be better. Now, I'm not talking about this shitbag organization, because I've been talking to a lot of BLM people the last couple of days.
Yeah.
Half of them I'm trolling because they're dumb, and then there's a lot of actually really thoughtful young people that are involved in this shit that are just as mad about everything that's going on as everyone else is. In particular, like, I've had a dozen people tell me, like, yeah, BLM is corrupt as fuck, the organization. They've raised hundreds of millions of dollars, and no one knows where any of it has gone. James Klug talked about it the other day.
Mm-hmm.
That was yesterday.
Yesterday, sure.
But, yeah, it's the general consensus is, and that, at the time, at least, when this first came out, is that it was like Black Lives Matter 2. That was the point. But now it's just become so contentious. Saying, when somebody says Black Lives Matter and you say All Lives Matter, that's, come on, man. Like, yeah, the reason they're saying Black Lives Matter is because they think they're treated like they're not.
Yeah.
Like they don't matter. Not because they think they matter more, or they're the only ones that matter, or that's not what it is. Like, it's just fucking pedantic to have this debate all the time.
And the reason why we're talking about it is with the crashing of the NBA ratings, everybody is pointing to this Black Lives Matter movement that is not only on the court, but on every back of...
Yeah.
It's on the back of everyone's jerseys. And then they lead into the commercial breaks with a commercial for Black Lives Matter. And people are over the politics of it, mixing with entertainment. And vice versa, man. Look, the NBA players are having their own troubles right now. In particular, LeBron James. Now, he's not having a problem with the Black Lives Matter movement, but he's having a problem with fans not being at the games in the NBA. Mm-hmm. And he's citing his poor performance for that. Nobody else is having a problem with it.
He's always
Dame Lillard dropped 61 points last night.
He's always got some excuse. Like, it's like, oh, I'm going into playoff mode and turning off my phone. Like, shut the fuck up, dude.
Yeah.
Like, if you can't go out and play basketball for an hour and a half and also live your day-to-day life, then you're not mentally tough enough to not lose five championships, right?
Right.
I mean, come on.
Six?
Is he three and six now?
Three and six, yeah. I think he's 3-6, I believe.
Either way.
Might be 3-5.
Either way.
He's lost a lot.
To me, I get it. It's unwatchable to me. And it's not because...
Yeah, you've had a problem with this since day one.
I think the dip in ratings are not because of BLM stuff. I don't think that average NBA fans really care about that at all, honestly. I don't think that's the demographic that they're going to lose a lot of people because of that. I think the product that they're putting on the floor is garbage.
Right now?
Yeah.
Why do you think the product is bad?
The product is bad because... Live sports isn't just about what's going on the court or on the field. Mm-hmm. It's about everything. It's about Jack Nicholson sitting in the front row of Lakers games. It's about Spike Lee talking shit to fucking Reggie Miller. That is what it is, right? And that's gone now.
Right.
That's a huge part of the game.
Yeah,
it's a huge part of the game. And it's I think that being missing, and maybe it is having an effect on LeBron, because it's certainly having an effect on me as somebody viewing. Maybe it is. I don't know.
Well, like, there's something say this. About
you've played basketball on a real, like some people may have played on like shitty high school courts. You've played on a big court. The depth of field behind the goal and in the sidelines changes the way you look at the court, and it becomes difficult to play on a court that's not like that anymore. And they've got it like walled off 20 rows back. It's weird as shit now.
Yeah, I remember because look, as a kid, as a white child, I was really, really good. Now, as a white adult, when I got it to be a teenager, then that's what I had a fucking problem because I just couldn't jump. But I got to play on all those like Nike AAU tournaments and all that other shit. And one of my biggest adjustments was those courts all being aligned, the depth that you were talking about, where you're not really sure where out of bounds is because it extends. Yeah. Therefore, your passes are longer and all that other shit. And it took me a while. Now,
I'm not
LeBron James, although you would confuse me with LeBron probably.
You guys have very similar facial structure
and body types.
Yeah.
I'm obviously a lot younger than him, but I understand it a little bit, especially for, and look, I hate LeBron. I've made no secret of that on this show. But a guy like LeBron who feeds off of crowds a lot and enjoys being an entertainer on the floor.
Yeah.
That is one aspect of his game that I do love.
That is the most important aspect of his game, other than his natural athleticism. So what the skill set that he's developed, the shooting, like he's learned to shoot a lot better, like way better actually, than when he first came in the league, he couldn't shoot for shit. And everybody said once LeBron James learns how to shoot, and it took him about 4 years, no one will ever be able to stop him again. And they were absolutely right about that. But the most important skill that he's learned as a professional is how to be a fucking identity. And it's something that I wish somebody would teach fighters how to do it, because people like Henry Cejudo are boring as fuck. Mm-hmm. Like you're never going to, and Khabib's never going to make as much money as Conor McGregor, no matter how many fights he wins. He could win every belt. He could go up in weight class. He could beat everybody forever. And he will never make more money than Conor because of who Conor is as a human being. And look, Khabib's got those skills. When he does talk shit, it's good.
Yeah.
He just doesn't want to do it.
No.
And I not that talking shit is the fucking bellwether for whether or not you have good personality and good branding or anything like that. But when it's in combat sports, it kind of is. In the NBA, it's more of like a fucking, you know, more affable and playful, engaging with the crowd and shit like that. Like that thing, and it's not always positive either. Do you remember when that kid walked up to DeMarcus Lawrence with the wrong jersey?
Mm-hmm.
I think it was a Giants jersey.
Yeah.
And he was like, hey, can you sign this? He goes, nah, it's the wrong jersey, kid.
That's
fucking funny.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like that kind of stuff is what makes sports. It's heroes and villains. It's faces and heels, as Eva Marie would say.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
That's what makes sports. And without that shit, it's just a bunch of people on the fucking internet talking shit.
Yeah. And, you know, I will say this, out of the NBA bubble, I don't, and, you know, we chatted about this on another show. I don't mind the not the fans not being there. I think the NBA has done as good a job as they possibly could at it. Baseball is the only one that still throws me off personally. With that being said, there is a lot of superstars in the NBA that have come to play in this bubble that have made an even bigger name for themselves. I mentioned Dame Lillard earlier, dropping 61 last night, 51 the night before.
Yep. Devin Booker. But Devin Booker, I've said since his rookie season, I'm like, this guy is a more athletic Klay Thompson. And that's exactly what he is. He hasn't learned how to play defense like Klay. He may never, because Klay he's one of the best
lockdown defender. Yeah.
But Devin Booker is a better scorer, which is hard to fucking rationalize, but consistency wise, he's a better scorer than Klay Thompson. Klay Thompson has put up 37 points in one quarter. I don't know if anybody will ever do that again, because that's fucking wild. But, Devin Booker has that same skill, and plus he's a better ball handler. He's faster. He can jump better. So at least as an offensive weapon, to me, he's the mold of Klay Thompson, but more athletic and younger. And people have slept on him for years because the Suns suck, right?
Yeah.
Which is understandable, I guess, in some ways. But I think he's one of the top 10 players in the NBA, frankly.
I agree. I'm gonna make a bold prediction here. This is very, very fucking bold here. But as soon as this bet goes up on my bookie, I'm taking it. I now think, after watching these bubble games, I now think that the Portland Trailblazers, if they are up against the Lakers in round one, will beat the Lakers in the first round and eliminate them. Dead serious. I think Dame Lillard is on a roll. Melo looks great.
He's hot at the right time, that's for sure. It's really, in the playoffs, it's about matchups.
It is. And I think
Nurkic can guard
Dame Lillard AD. Can do it, man.
Nurkic can guard AD. And let's be real, nobody can guard LeBron.
No.
Like, Patrick Beverley will give him a hard time, but he can shoot over Patrick Beverley anytime he wants.
Beverley's on the Clippers, too, so they're not going to face them.
Not until later rounds, yeah. There's a couple of guys in the league. One of them is, like, 3-and-D guys that can guard LeBron. Like, Danny Green can give him some trouble, but they're on the same team now, so it doesn't matter. In the playoffs in the Western Conference, I don't know that there's anybody really other than I can't think of anybody that could really guard LeBron. So that's just not going to happen, right?
But that's always
the problem. Like, you always say, look, well, LeBron's going to – coaches always say this shit, and they're always wrong. Like, LeBron's going to get his, and we'll just have to guard everybody else. It never works that way, because NBA players are competitive. They don't want to get beat all the time.
Right.
So they try to guard LeBron, then he hands the ball off, and they fucking look like idiots, like even bigger than that. So what I think they should do is – look, Carmelo Anthony certainly isn't guarding LeBron James, is he?
No, it's one of those things to me where I don't know if it's the fans. I think it's his age, me personally, and I think he won't say it. But LeBron looks like shit. And I think shutting down the season for 4 months and then just trying to fire it up and get back into it again, this almost feels like summer league to him and everybody else until these playoffs start. Whereas Dame Lillard and the Portland Trailblazers haven't missed. And if that's the first round matchup, good luck. Because I think he's got a lot to prove. And that is my biggest 8-1 matchup that I'm going to bet on. And I'm going to take the Portland Trailblazers if they get that last spot. Yeah. I think there's a play-in game, or maybe they have a half game lead right now.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens.
Well, there's a play-in. If you're 8 or 9, there's a play-in game.
Right.
Between 8 and 9, either way. So they're going to be playing a play-in game, I think.
So if it's Portland and the Lakers, I'm going to throw the money around with my dick on Portland and see what happens here. But that's where I'm going with that.
I got to think that if Portland does make it, they're probably going to move Whiteside into the rotation. Like, they're probably going to fucking bounce Zach Collins out, put Nurkic at the 4 and Whiteside at the 5. Because the only way you're really going to slow this Lakers team down, because Danny Green is going to hit his threes. You can't leave him open out
and
there.
And ADs look great. It's just LeBron.
Yeah. It's the only way. I think you got to clog the lane up and give LeBron problems.
Yeah.
If you can shut that down and stop him from being an effective facilitator, then you got a shot to win that. Because, look, Dame's on fire. The other thing is CJ McCollum is day-to-day right now. He's got a fracture, hairline fracture in his back. So if he stays healthy and can play to his full potential, I definitely think they have a chance to win that, which would be hilarious, by the way.
It would be awesome.
And it would be great for Dame Lillard because he's like
horrific for the NBA ratings, by the way.
Oh yeah, for sure. Dame Lillard is one of the last like throwbacks to 90s NBA style play. And when I say like, not that he's a terribly physical player or anything like that, but he's not, he talks shit about everything all the time.
Yeah.
He's not trying to make friends with people on other teams and shit like that. He wants to fucking win. He's a fucking from West Oakland. You know what I mean? He wants to win games. He doesn't give a shit about it. Him and G-Eazy.
Mm-hmm.
Are from the same general
area. Big fan
area.
Of G-Eazy's ex-girlfriend.
Holmes, and E-40.
Yeah.
All from there.
Yeah. Big, big fan of G-Eazy's ex-girlfriend, Halsey. Really can't overstate that.
Is that... I didn't know they ever dated.
Man, follow her Instagram. It is a thirst trap right there.
I'm good. I'm good. Thank you, though. Oh, I just got a text from Danny Warsnop.
Whoa!
He sent us a picture of a fucking AOC action figure.
Did he really?
Yes, that's hilarious.
I'm sure they'll be selling those soon.
Please buy that.
Yeah, we'll be talking about her on the news tomorrow and,
yeah,
and all that shit.
Christ.
Omar made it through her fucking primary, so we'll get into that on fake news tomorrow. I want to get into college football next. Look, the Big Ten is out. The Pac-12 is out. You and I saw a article about Steve Spurrier today saying, hey, if it's the ACC, the SEC, and the Big 12, they should play, have a college football playoffs, and crown a champion out of that. Now, everybody at home knows that I am a gigantic, diehard, end-all, be-all Ohio State fan. Obviously, they are in the Big 10, who is out. However, I wholeheartedly agree with Steve Spurrier 1,000% on this. If they're able to play, and I think, by the way, I'm in the camp that I think they should. After watching Hard Knocks last night and seeing all the protocols, all these fucking players go through, you're way safer playing football than you are just living at your own house or going to the fucking neighborhood bar from wherever you're from.
Absolutely. I was watching First Take and Get Up this morning. I watched both of them, and... There's a bifurcation. People that are involved in college football are way more reasonable about this than other, like, what's his nuts? Jalen Rose won't shut the fuck up. He's like, this is about health and safety. And him and Max Kellerman are like, it doesn't matter that we're not doctors. We're just quoting scientists and blah, blah, blah. Like, you mean the scientists have been wrong about every single fucking thing?
Yeah.
Like the WHO just came out last week and said that the global, including third world countries, mortality rate is 0.6 motherfucking percent, which supports the narrative that we pushed the whole time that the actual mortality rate in America is somewhere between 0.3 and 0.35, right? Which is about 3.5 times worse than the flu. And we shut down everything for it.
Everything.
God fucking damn it, and dude. So, this is the dumbest shit of all time. So these people that are engaged, like Scott Frost, for example.
Yeah.
A lot of the people.
The head coach from Nebraska.
Yeah. A lot of people are calling, like, oh, he's being petulant and blah, blah, blah. Fucking whatever. Like, they want to switch conferences so they can play football.
Correct.
Because these kids
go back to the Big 12.
Yeah, these kids have worked their whole goddamn lives for this moment, and now they're going to miss it because of this fucking bullshit.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not just them. It's all the people that college football supports. All the other varsity sports other than basketball, baseball, and maybe women's basketball does all right financially. But other than those, nothing else varsity exists. No. Not, I'm not talking about in the fall when sports are canceled. I'm talking about into perpetuity, like
rowing, wrestling.
Yeah, some of these programs have already canceled like 2 or 3 years of their fucking varsity programs outside of football for this reason because they know they don't have the money to do it.
Stanford's already eliminated 14 varsity programs.
Yeah. I mean, so it's fucked.
To Steve Spurrier and everybody else in the SEC, because we have a lot of listeners on the show. Obviously, if you sign up for Drinking Bros Sports on Facebook, the private group. We go fucking hard in there and give you our honest opinion. And my honest opinion is this, because I was tagged in this story a million times today. If you're a fucking pussy, like the chancellors of the Big Ten and the Pac-12 and the rest of these conferences who aren't playing right now, because I think this decision should have been pushed because you had plenty of time to delay the season another month and go late September if you wanted to, since you're going all conference games anyways, which you announced a few weeks ago. I don't know why this decision had to be made this week, but it did. If the SEC makes it, if the ACC makes it, if the Big 12 makes it and they play, fuck, I don't even give a shit if it's just the ACC and the SEC or any combination of those three conferences. You deserve to have a college football playoff between only those three conferences. Whoever wins deserves to be the national champion. The Big Ten can go fuck itself. The Pac-12 can certainly go fuck itself. And they don't deserve to be a part of that conversation. Now, if you are going to play and you want to go outside your conference and do it. Now, Nebraska is one of those. You mentioned Scott Frost. Mm-hmm. This morning, the head of the Big Ten said if Nebraska decides to leave and play on its own, play its own schedule this year, it will be thrown out of the Big Ten.
That's fucking fine, bro.
Do it.
See ya.
See you later.
Like, why the fuck would they stay?
I don't know why they switched out of the Big 12 anyways. Because me personally, as a fan, they do nothing for me in the Big Ten. They never have. They've never won anything. And it's been 20 plus years.
Big Ten schools have
a conversation.
It's like two. It's like fucking night and day.
Yeah.
Big Ten plays defense. Big 12 does not.
Correct.
That has been the case for fucking ever. Why would you take a team like Nebraska and put them in a fucking defensive league? Scott Frost was a defenseman, right?
Yes.
Nope. No.
No, it's right. He was nuts.
No. Would you nuts. Like the reason that fucking look, Ryan Day is probably going to become one of the best college football coaches of all time, right?
It feels like that.
But you know. He benefits from having an extremely good, solid defensive fucking coordinator mm-hmm. and a defensive what do you call it? Atmosphere, I guess. Like Ohio State's always been Joey the Bosa's. I mean, like, come on.
They churn out. Look, we're not, it's DBU. All their defensive backs.
It's the Midwest, man.
Every defensive back is in the pros.
We're not going to go down the list or anything like that, but it's
the Bosa's, Chase Young.
But Ryan Day is a great offensive coach. That's what he does best. Yep. Now, if you take Scott Frost and put him at a school that has an incredible, if you took him and put him at like Michigan State, he'd mm-hmm. probably fucking do great there.
Yeah.
To be honest, I think he's misplaced at Nebraska. I know he played there. I got it.
Yeah.
But I think that is a bad system for him, but it's a bad system for that team as well. Like Nebraska's got to get there. They don't belong. They belong in the Big 12.
Yes. And to me, I remember when Nebraska played Oklahoma, that was a gigantic rivalry. Them switching conferences never made sense to me. To my knowledge, what I have heard is Nebraska has not reached out to the Big 12 commissioner yet. But if they do, and they're going to play, fuck, man, I don't blame you for playing. To all you Ohio State fans out there who are like, man, everybody's picking us to win the national championship this year. Hey, man, we're not playing. Ohio State is not playing. The Big 10 is not playing. So either everything gets pushed to spring or the people that are playing get to compete for a national championship like a big boy.
Yep.
And the other people can stay home and fucking play Xbox.
And suck their thumbs like babies.
Yes.
Look, here's what I think should happen. I'll save this one because you're going to go off on a rant on this. What I think should be allowed is if you're from one of the conferences, if conferences play, if the ACC, SEC, Big 12 play, mm-hmm. then if you're in a team in the Big 10 or the MAC, WAC, fucking Pac-12, whatever the fuck else, you should be allowed to immediately transfer to a new school and fucking play. Your entire life is in front of you. If you're a fucking junior, right? Mm-hmm. Or a senior, even worse, and you think you've got a lot of work to do to fucking boost your draft status and your plan is to be a professional football player, then they are robbing you of millions of dollars by not allowing you to do that, period. Like if you've got to go out and prove yourself this year, this is the only time you got to do it. If you're a junior and a senior, right? This is the only time you got to do it. Then they are fucking literally taking money out of your pocket. And I think you should be able to fucking transfer to any program you want right goddamn now with no fucking delays.
The only problem with it is, and I agree with you, but the only problem with that is these schools are supposed to start here in about 3 weeks, 3 or 4 weeks with their first games. It is not enough time for players to get acclimated with the playbooks, defensive schemes, all that shit. But SEC, Big 12, ACC, I'm with you. Even though there's only one school in the ACC, it's Clemson and that's it. But I'm with you. If the three of those conferences hang in there and play, the winner of that deserves to be the national champion. You deserve the title and the trophy and all that shit. And the Big Ten and the Pac-12 can go fuck itself for this bitch-ass Dr. Fauci fucking,
we've got some scientists who say it's unsafe.
No. Ryan Day, the head coach of Ohio State, has come out and said our protocol for the COVID is unprecedented. Jim Harbaugh has said the same. Iowa and Nebraska has said the same. If the chancellors and the commissioner don't want you to play, then you don't deserve to play for a fucking national title. Now, if everything gets moved to spring, which this is my assumption of
let me probably, what will happen.
I think so too.
Before you move on to that, by the way, I just wanted to point out that you and Feinbaum agree on this. I know that pains you.
To my core.
When I say agree on this, I mean to the time. My fucking core. He questioned the timing of the announcement. Like, why now?
Same.
Why?
Yep.
And I look, we all hate Paul Feinbaum. Everybody, every human being on earth hates Paul Feinbaum, including his family and his friends. They all hate him.
Probably his kids. Does he have kids?
I don't know, but he's got a bozo ring. Anyways, even he was like, and he's no fan of the fucking Big Ten. He's the biggest Big Ten hater of all time.
Yeah, so
it makes sense that he'd be saying this, but even he who has been on the fucking safe COVID side, he's like, why now? Like, you've got, first of all, you got time, or you could have announced this 3 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And now that we've seen the successes, fucking MLS, and the only thing that's happened in baseball is because people are acting like idiots.
Well, that's right? The biggest fear of college athletes, right? Is you're going to go out and fucking party and get laid after games and do
for sure. But
all
if you,
the stuff that college kids do.
You can't control your team, then that's on you, bro.
It is, but there's so many fucking people. And, you know, I'm even curious how the NFL is going to do it, to be honest with you. Hard Knocks helped a little bit last night where I was like, all right, cool. But how do you control these people and what they're going to do in their daily lives outside of football? Because you're not in a bubble. Like the NHL, by the way, has been masterful at it. Yeah. And
so is basketball.
So is NBA.
This 4 straight weeks now, zero COVID
positives. Zero for NHL as well. So it's tough. Now, let's say this all shifts into spring. Like I think it's going to be, like we predicted on this show months and months ago, that it is going to be. Coach Ryan Day, this is breaking news, says that he hopes to be on the field in early January and then have the season wrap up in late April, right before the NFL draft.
What authority does the NCAA have here over the conferences? Can they say no one is playing college football until the spring?
Yes.
That's what's going to happen then, for sure. They're not going to let three conferences play and the rest not.
Well, I apparently it is up to the conference. I apologize. I should strike that. It is up to the conferences. So their commissioners are making the call.
So why don't they do it here? It's 2020. Mm-hmm. And this is another thing that a bunch of the guys from every sport were saying on the sports shows the last 2 days. It's 2020. It's the year of the asterisk. Let's just do some weird shit and figure some stuff out. Why don't they let three conferences play in the fall if they want to play? Decide a champion from that, and then let the other two conferences play. Decide a champion from that, and then play one game in fucking April.
That idea has been pitched, by the way.
I would fucking love to see that. It's they would make so much fuck. The ratings for that last game,
I agree,
would be so goddamn Mega. High. Mega. It would be the highest rated fucking college football game of all time, and it wouldn't even be close.
Yeah.
And it would probably be Clemson versus Ohio State, just like it would have been probably. In the fucking first place. Yeah. No, not probably.
Ah,
like, it would.
They lost Justin Ross. I might slide Alabama in there, but
maybe.
We'll see.
They still have Etienne and fucking. Come on, man. They got Jesus.
They
Etienne.
Do, but it's tough. I don't know because fuck, man. Clemson doesn't play anybody, so they're always tough for me to gauge. But Bayou Brook hit me up yesterday. Obviously, she's been on the show, fan of the show, LSU fan. And she was saying, well, what happens then if everybody moves to spring? What will that look like and everything else? Here's what I've been saying about spring ball if it happens. I think it benefits a team like LSU, who has all new players. Most of them went to the draft. They got new coaches. They're going to be able to sit on this playbook for another 4 months and learn the ropes a little better. Practices are still going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So if they're going to play spring ball, you're going to be able to practice with your team. So that benefits an LSU who's got a new quarterback. It benefits Georgia, who's playing with a new quarterback. Benefits an Alabama with Mac Jones in there, who's going to have some more time with his people.
Yeah. The other part of my plan would be the real problem with it would be how does whomever wins the first one stay sharp for that last game?
If that happens, but
it's not going to happen.
It's not. But
everybody's going to play in the spring. There's no chance that college football is happening in the fall, in my opinion.
But on the other side of that, if it does move to spring, the grand debate is whether or not these players, the star players who are going to be drafted in the first round, actually play. Like, let's face it. I think we all know the onesie twosies here, the draft order. It's Trevor Lawrence first, and then Justin Fields second in the NFL draft. Will they stay in play if there is a season in the spring?
So Georgino and I actually talked about this yesterday.
Uh-huh.
If you're fucking Trevor Lawrence, why? If they come back in the spring, why? Why play? You have nothing to prove to anybody.
None.
There's no fucking reason for you to risk any sort of injury.
He's the first pick in the draft. You're correct.
Like, do not fucking play at all. And please, I will fucking come kidnap him and hold him fucking hostage until the fucking season's over, because he's a good kid.
Great kid.
He's
great
a
guy.
Very good, yeah. Football player. He's a very like nice human being. He's very like, he goes out of his way to help people and shit all the time. You don't see a lot of stories about it because he doesn't give a fuck about this stuff, but he's a good kid. And so is Justin Fields, by the way. And personally, yeah. I think if Justin Fields sits out this season, he still goes number two. So why play?
I agree.
Risk it?
So I would have said they weren't going to play at all. However, the two most outspoken people during this process advocating to play have been Justin Fields and Trevor Lawrence. I think that if there is a hypothetical, this January season that ends right before the draft, I think they both play. Some other people will definitely sit out.
I agree that they will. I think it's a mistake.
Now, as a fan, what would I like to see? Mm. I'd like to see all the Power 5 conferences switch to the spring. Now that the Big Ten and the Pac-12 are out, I'd like to see them all switch to the spring, go to this form of schedule. I don't know what that's going to do.
What do you do with the NFL? What do you do with the NFL draft?
So according to this, this would still put you on the same exact pace for the NFL draft. It would just be a week after. So instead of having an NFL combine, these playoff games and all this other shit would be your precursor to, here's who these guys are going to be as NFL players.
Not having the combine hurts.
I agree.
Anybody that's not a top 10 pick, the combine doesn't happen. Not only does it hurt the players, the teams are fucked.
I agree.
They are not. The NFL is not going to do that. I promise you that.
We're in an unprecedented time, and I don't know what the answer is for it. But what I do know is that is my sincerest hope. That's what my gut is saying. However, look, if the SEC, ACC, and Big 12 end up playing, crown a fucking champion and move on with your day. It will render spring brawl useless for Big Ten and Pac-12. Everybody else is already canceled. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. But I'm pretty pissed off about it. And again, China wins. So
4.35 mortality rate.
Yep.
Yep. That's three and a half times worse than the flu, which is bad.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah. Bad. It's bad, too.
Not this bad.
Not this bad. We get some sponsors to pay for this whole shit wagon to be on the air. Today, by the way, we're going to go over the MyBookie odds. I know we started with some other crazy shit. It's a crazy time in sports, obviously. We're going to go over the MyBookie.com odds for the UFC 252 coming up. Promo code Drinking Bros will double your deposits. So we will get to that after the sponsors. But we are always, always brought to you, first and foremost, by KillcliffCBD.com, best in the business. KillcliffCBD.com, 25 milligrams of CBD in every single can. Three amazing flavors, mango, orange kush, and grape. Man, I drink a can of this every fucking night. I put some in my car from North Carolina to Austin. I was bitching about it that I didn't have it for the LA trip. I put a whole fucking case in my car, so I'm good to go. So the new cans arrive at my house. From KillcliffCBD.com. Promo code Drinking Bros, by the way, gets you 20% off and free shipping there. You will not piss hot. There is no THC in any of this shit. So if you're military or first responder out there and you're thinking to yourself, hey man, I got a drug test, no THC in this whatsoever. Georgia. Danny's a refill. That's what he's pointing out. There we go. Go to KillcliffCBD.com today. Promo code Drinking Bros, 20% off and free shipping. Best in the biz. Mix it with vodka. I'm telling you, it's a game changer. Next up, we got ghostbed.com/drinking bros. Finest mattresses in the biz. If you're a member of the military, a first responder, or you work in the government or you're a teacher in this life, you get 30% off of everything. 25% off if you're a regular civilian like myself. And as always, you're getting two free pillows with the purchase of a mattress. They've got a 36-month pay-as-you-go program. All of those deals are applicable with the 36-month pay-as-you-go program. No interest at ghostbed.com/drinkingbros. So take heed when you're going there and be like, maybe I should just stretch this out. It's like $30 a month for all your favorite shit. Go to ghostbed.com/drinkingbros today. Next up.
By the way, on that Ghostbed thing.
Yep.
If somebody's giving you usury with no interest, why not use it?
I don't get it.
I mean, it sounds like a scam.
Yeah.
But it's so many people have used it at this point that you know that it's real at this point. It's one of those things, like people feel like it's too good to be true.
Yeah.
Like this, that's the way you should feel, by the way, about all these fucking COVID bailouts and your rent.
Correct.
Like if just because you can't get evicted doesn't mean that bill's not building right now.
No, dude. It's coming. It is coming. Man. Go to ghostbed.com/drinkingbros today. Take advantage of that fucking deal. Next up, we got getroman.com/drinkingbros.
Dick pills.
Dick pills. Get your motherfucking boner on. These are the finest. I know I say all our products are the finest, but they are. We actually have products that we like. We've shot down a lot of products that we don't like. And that's real, by the way. We do it all the time. We get hit up for shit. If you notice, we got some of the same products on almost every single show because we can trust them and they're the fucking best. If you've got a fucking flaccid boner, dude, flaccid weens, or you just want to party recreationally with a huge dick, go to getroman.com/drinkingbros today. You don't see a doctor. There's a reason why Roman has overtaken fucking Viagra in this market. You're not seeing a doctor anymore. You go to the website, fill out a little 5 questionnaire with a free doctor visit, and boom, you're good to go. Those dick pills will be in the mail in 48 hours. Non-discreet package too. No, discreet package. Non-discreet is blasting out like a huge black boner.
Would it be indiscreet or non-discreet? English.
What do we say there? English.
Nobody knows how to speak
English. It evades me. A lot of the times. Either way. So Giorgio says he wants his mailman to know that.
I think it's a big flex.
But so do I.
Like when you walk out, here's the deal.
I agree.
When you walk out to the mailman and grab your mail out of his hand, which never happens anymore, by the way, but in this scenario, just play along with us, pieces of shit, and stop judging us. I want that mailman to know, like I order a lot of it, just so he knows I'm always on it.
Yeah.
Which means, you know, if somebody orders like a fuckload of booze, you're like, oh, that guy's drunk all the time, right? If I order a fuckload of fucking Roman, then that guy's like, this guy's hard all the time.
Yeah, dude.
Like, yeah, you're fucking right. I'm hard all the goddamn time.
All day long.
Don't even look at me in the eyes because I'm so hard.
No, dude.
Like, it'll get you hard if you look at me in the eyes. It's
too hard.
And then you start to feel weird because a dude made you hard.
Yeah.
But like,
hey, man.
Like Jared Taylor said,
make me hard?
Hard dicks make me horny, right?
Yeah.
Why have we not made that a t-shirt?
It's tough to wear on the streets.
Well, fuck that. Jared and I are actually having a merch meeting on Friday.
Okay.
And it's going to get weird, folks.
All right. Go to getroman.com/drinkingbros today for those boner pills. Free doctor visit. 48-hour delivery. You're good to go on those fucking things. Last but not least, because this is going to lead us into our UFC 252 predictions. MyBookie.com. Promo code DRINKINGBROS will double your deposits. I've heard they've gone higher now. Congratulations. They're going to match you dollar for dollar at MyBookie.com. All of our bets go through MyBookie. Their new interface is fucking awesome. They changed their revamped their website.
Yeah, it's
fucking great. I lost a shit ton of money on the Elizabeth Warren thing because I bet before the protest. You can bet on everything political too on MyBookie.com, as well as the fights, as well as the NFL specials. Go to MyBookie.com. Promo code DRINKINGBROS will double your deposit. All of these odds that we're about to read off for UFC 252 will be from MyBookie.com. And that is where we were betting. I've been on fire in the UFC this year, and I look to keep that streak going. Bet with us or against us on mybookie.com, promo code Drinking Bros.
I went 8-0 week one, and I kind of just like felt like taking some risk.
You did.
But
you
still went 6-2 or 6-3, I think, in the last two.
Yeah, you've been on the up and up. I've been on fire here. The only one I lost was that chick fight, and still pissed about that. Karate body chick.
I've been assaulted by so many crazy women at this point that I know chick fights. That's why I'm good at picking them. I can tell who's got the
best,
the crazy in the eye.
In the biz. Best in the biz, kids. So, with UFC 252 upon us, on a Saturday night. It's going to be Cormier's last fight against Stipe. To me, Dan, I'm happy about this.
You're happy that it's his last fight?
It is. Yes. I think that he's been through enough. He's put his body through enough. Mm-hmm. And he is a great announcer. Like, he's just got a huge personality.
That team is him, Rogan, and fucking our good friend John Anik. That's the best commentating crew in all of professional sports.
Correct.
By a wide margin.
Yes.
Like, their knowledge of the fucking game. And it would be like if you had, like, John Miller, Joe Morgan, and you added, like, Steve Smith from the fucking old Cubs broadcast. Now I think he works with the White Sox.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the most colorful plus knowledgeable people about the game are all in that one fucking little trio now.
Yeah.
And it's amazing.
It is, man.
And we've talked to John Anik about it before. We miss him. Like, it's not that I don't like the other guys, but sure. I miss him when he's not there.
Same.
Like, I rely on him for a lot of stuff.
Dude, Anik is the best play-by-play announcer there is in the business right now.
In any sport.
Yes.
In my opinion.
Any fucking sport.
The best color guy is probably... The best analyst, not color, the best color guy is probably fucking our a guy we haven't met yet, actually, but we should.
Who?
The fucking former Cowboys quarterback. What's his name?
Oh, Tony Romo. Yeah,
he
Romo,
does, dude. He like...
But he's a mind reader.
It's like, he reminds me of...
He reminds me of you.
A little bit,
the
yeah.
The way he looks at things analytically, like, it's just, hey, this is what's going to happen. That's what's going to happen. He looks at odds and he's able Steve to run Stone. Numbers... Fast in his mind.
Yeah, he's like Steve Stone from the Cubs.
Yeah, Steve Stone back in the day was great.
So he was like, that's the guy I was talking about, not Smith. Steve Smith is a fucking basketball player for the Hawks. But yeah. Steve Stone would...
And the wide receiver for the Carolina Panthers.
That's true, yeah. He is, God.
Both Hall of Famers.
Is he a Hall of Famer? Yeah, he should be.
Both should be. Both should be.
Steve Stone, he was that guy that was like, it was an 0-1 count. And remember, he watched Maddox in his early years. Watching that, when I was growing up, before Maddox went to the Braves, and I was a huge Braves fan, I already knew who Maddox was, and I knew about how fucking smart the guy was because of Steve Stone.
Mm-hmm.
He would be like, look, Maddox is going to throw these three pitches, and it's going to be a ground ball to second base. I'm like, when I first started watching, I'm like 10 or 12 years old or whatever the fuck. I'm like, that's a bold prediction for a fucking, and it happened every single time. I'm like, wow, this guy really knows what he's talking about. These guys these days, like Romo, you don't see people like that come along very often.
No, which is why they backed up the truck. I think he got $15 million.
Was it 15?
It might have been 17.
Jesus Christ.
Either way, they backed up the truck. He's making more now than he was as a starting quarterback for the Cowboys.
Oh yeah.
But with this Stipe Cormier fight, I think this is the perfect way to go out. I think Cormier gets one last huge paycheck. And
what's he making for this? Probably $2 million.
Probably somewhere in there.
Two or three, probably.
It's a nice send-off. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer, in my opinion, for the UFC Hall of Fame. However...
Well, anybody that's a champion that has defended their belt is an automatic Hall of Famer. Anyway.
Yeah. It's tough, man. In this fight, though, however, I am all in on Stipe. It is -115 for each of these. So it's a pick 'em matchup on mybookie.com. Again, promo code DRINKINGBROS will double your deposit. I am all in on Stipe in this fight. And I don't know, Giorgio, will you look up the weight for this fight? I don't know if
it's heavyweight.
265.
Well, Cormier is going
to have a hard time making weight for this fight.
Cormier walks around at 250, 255.
He walks around in his last fight getting weighed with towels now. So he looks a lot bigger to me in the broadcast booth a few weeks ago than he typically does. So, fact check that, Giorgio, but I think Cormier is going to have a very tough time making weight for this.
He fucking fought light heavy last time. Light heavy is 205. That's why he had to lose weight.
Yeah.
He's fighting heavyweight this time. The max is 265. He walks
around, oh, it is.
Okay. He walks around at about 250 for the fight cuts down to, I think, 235.
So he'll make it for that.
Yeah, he's fine.
Fight at 205.
John Jones,
right.
Yeah.
That's right.
John Jones doesn't, for whatever reason, want to come up to heavy.
No.
Although huh?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think he will too.
When he gets older. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's still at 33 now. Probably when he wins the title, he'll come
up and take the title. No way. You think he'll beat Ngannou? Georgia or.
Yeah, he'll beat Ngannou for sure.
He'll beat Ngannou. I don't think in a million years. But in this fight, I think it's Stipe. I think Stipe is going to win. And I think Cormier obviously has a amazing retirement speech in the ring, and this is it. Who do you have in this fight?
I'm taking Cormier in this fight.
Whoa, there we go.
I watched the Stipe-Cormier fight this morning, actually, the last one.
Yep.
And to be honest, what I said the other on yesterday's show, I think, was that yesterday? No, we didn't record yesterday. Maybe we were just talking.
Yeah, we were just talking.
I can't fucking discern the two anymore.
I can't separate real life from the show either. And everybody who meets us is the same thing. They're like, hey, man, you guys are exactly like you are on the show. It's like,
they repeat. Well, people repeat stuff I've said back to me. I'm like, I thought I just thought that. What the fuck is happening?
Out loud.
But no, it's like what I said to you yesterday about Cormier not losing because of his weight. Mm-hmm. I think maybe in that last fight, because in round three, I thought he won round one and three. Two was a toss up. It could have been fucking 9-9 and two, but one and three, he definitely won. And he landed, I mean, say it says a lot about Stipe's ability to take punches, because he got fucking rocked a couple of times.
Yeah.
And particularly in one and three, he got rocked. He had a fucking nice little welt under his eye. He was in trouble. Came into round four, and I don't know if Cormier got bored or if it was conditioning. Like, the first probably 45 seconds of round four, he paced around, kept his distance, was taking deep breaths. So he may have been a little gassed right there. I think maybe the weight got him, because he's 41 now, right?
Yeah, man. He's old as shit.
So I can understand, and I think it's a very good argument to make, that it doesn't really matter. Like, the fact that this is his last one, he's super hyped up for it, I think that kind of works against him, frankly, because he's going to come out with a lot of energy and maybe waste it in the first two rounds. If he doesn't knock Stipe out, he's going to lose. If he doesn't knock Stipe out in the first three rounds, he's going to lose, my opinion.
So for me, Stipe has been pissed that he hasn't gotten enough respect. But to be fair, he's what, a full-time firefighter?
Like,
he doesn't dedicate himself to the sports the way that everybody else does. Not to say that firefighters obviously shouldn't be UFC fighters, but they're treating it as a brand of this. When Stipe fights, I watch the fight and it's awesome, and then that's it. I never hear from him again. And so whatever his next fight is, right?
What is happening with Giorgio?
Sneezing.
What was that?
It was some form of sneeze. But with Stipe, he disappears until his next fight. Like, he's not a UFC superstar to me. However, I think he has been training because he wants to be that guy. And I think he beats Cormier in this fight. So you and I are going against each other. We haven't had a Fight Club game of the week for a long time. We will for this one. I'm going to go Stipe. You're going to go Cormier. Either way, I'm looking forward to this fight, and we're going to be watching this on Saturday. The co-main event here. Is Junior Dos Santos the co-main event?
No, it's Sean O'Malley and Marlon Vera.
It's Sean O'Malley. They got it out of order here.
People fucking, like, I bet against him once.
Sean O'Malley.
That'll never happen again.
Correct.
By the way.
I picked Sean O'Malley last time. So it's Sean O'Malley versus Marlon Vera on this one. That's the co-main event.
I made the mistake.
All in on Sean O'Malley. That was my lock of the last time he fought.
Yeah.
And it's my lock this time as well. I love him. The problem is the odds on this are shit.
You're not going to win any money.
I'll bet a little more just to put some juice on this. But I've got Sean O'Malley. And the reason why he's a co-main event so quickly is literally what you said towards the top of the show. When you create a personality and a brand for yourself like Sean O'Malley has, and you were exciting outside of the ring, it translates to inside of the ring really fucking quickly.
Sure does.
And he is now a co-main event guy, and he's a fucking blast to watch.
Here's his last three.
A blast of an interview.
His last three fights: fight of the night, performance of the night, performance of the night.
Yep.
That's how you fucking make money. This guy is going to make more money than anybody in UFC over the
rainbow
next 10
colored
years
hair. Yeah.
Because of this shit.
Yep.
But also because he's great. You got to be both.
Got to be both. And McGregor, same with McGregor. We were talking about McGregor earlier. It is also because he is great. McGregor is great. So I'm all in on Sean O'Malley on this fight.
And McGregor's left cross, you can make an argument that is the most dangerous weapon in UFC history. Like, I don't know if anybody's knocked anybody out more with one technique than he has with his right or his left cross.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, it's incredible what he's done with that. But yeah, you got to have both. And O'Malley seems like the
guy. You
got
a personality, and you got to be able to end fights.
I thought that he's 25, right?
Mm-hmm.
I thought this guy's had nothing but success. He's got a huge personality. People like that very frequently think, all right, I've got this figured out. Then they take their next opponent not seriously or whatever you want to call it and get right. their ass kicked. Clearly, he is very focused. And maybe the fact that, like Gaethje, having the fans gone and just having your coach barking at you the whole time has changed something for him. Or maybe he was like that all along. We'll never know.
Yeah.
But I won't bet against him again.
No. So we are all in on Sean O'Malley on this one. Next up is the Junior Dos Santos fights that I was talking about. He's fighting. We have our translator here to give us the. Yeah. It's Rosenstrike. But how do you pronounce his first name? Jarzinho.
Jarzinho. Yeah. That's what is that? Brazilian? Where's he from?
Anik loves him, by the way. Anik loves this guy.
He does. Yeah.
And this is very close to a pick'em fight. The pick'em on this is plus 100 and minus 130. That means both of these guys, it is kind of a toss up. I'd say, like, I remember seeing that last Rosenstrike fight. He got knocked out in that fight. Yeah.
So it's like the heavy hitter versus the heavy hitter. We saw who the real champ
is. Exactly. Therefore, I'm going to lean with Junior Dos Santos on this fight. The over-under is 1.5, which is hilarious to me. So that means, look, man, somebody's getting knocked out within a round and a half, which I love. Those are my favorites. But that's where I'm going. The favorite is Rosenstrike in this one.
It is, but look, Junior Dos Santos is one of those guys that's had a lot of opportunities in the heavyweight division. Like, he's been the number one contender on 2 or 3 separate occasions, I believe. And it's just never all come together for him. And look, it doesn't usually come together when you're in your late 30s. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, if you haven't put it together before that, it typically doesn't happen when you're 36. But look, it kind of did for Cormier. So kind of, who's to say one way or the other? Junior Dos Santos is a fucking slugger.
And in this weird here's why I'm betting him. In this weird environment that we're in right now, it favors the veteran guys who have fought a million times before. Mm. They're used to these training camps and all this other shit. And they're like, all right, cool, man. I'm over the COVID sitch and I can go in and brawl against anybody. That is the only reason I'm picking him in this is because of the times that we are in and the way things are sped up in this. But I also think, you know, once you get knocked out once, you're susceptible to it again and you're also worried. And that's exactly what happened to homeboy here. So,
well, Junior Dos Santos has beaten Carwin. He's beaten fucking Stipe. He's beaten.
He's beaten the very best.
He's beaten Cain Velasquez. He's beaten fucking Frank Mir. I mean, he's anybody that's come through the heavyweight division. Like, he's not intimidated by. And he knows he can win. And I think that plays a big part in as well. Like, some people get in their own heads. I think he knows he can win.
Yeah.
This other dude, look, man, he's had pretty good success in the UFC.
Mm-hmm.
So he's on a high too. I just think that.
I understand it, by the way.
I don't know on this one.
I understand it. This is where my American dollars are going. I could be wrong. I've missed typically one fight on these cards. So if this is the one I missed, fine. But in the meantime, I'm going to take the veteran in this one and move on with my life.
What are the odds on that again? You said...
It's basically a pick-em. It's plus 100 for Dos Santos.
Mm.
Minus 130 for Rosenstrike. So... Your call, over-under is a round and a half in this one.
I take the over on that.
Maybe.
I do. I think if they're giving them 1.5, if they give them fucking 1, that I will bet the under on because they know there's going to be a knockout. If they give them 1.5, heavyweight division, once they get into like halfway through the second round, particularly into the third round, there will be a knockout at some point, but those guys are going to be gassed.
Yeah.
Like, they're going to come out after 5 straight minutes of trying to knock each other out and be gassed for the first half fucking of that second round. For sure. I'd take the over on that.
I'm with you on that. So if you're hopping on mybookie.com over the weekend and betting this with us, I'm going to throw $200 on that on the over of 1.5 in this fight. And again, promo code Drinking Bros will double your deposit on that so you can bet even more. I'm going to bet that. Plus, I'm bored as shit. There's nothing going on, so we're going to bet the shit out of these. Next up, we got this. Man, these names, dude. Again, we need a fucking translator here. Ion Kutalaba versus Mogamed Ankalaev. Am I even close to that? Not a prayer. Not a fucking prayer.
What John I do Anik know, would know,
this is that guy from, what is it? Dagestan. That's it. I'm not betting against that motherfucker. So it's Mogamed for me. And I hope that sounds every bit the way you want it to, coming through your stereo speakers right now, because I am all in on Mogamed.
Wait, where is this fight?
It's about the fourth fight down in this one. It's minus 300 for him, but I mean, this is another one where the over-under is a round and a half.
I think that's an undercard, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is. But no, I mean, it's on the main card, but it is one of the last of the main cards here. There's only one more left after that on the main cards. And is this going to be a trend, Giorgio, where these guys from Dagestan are going to start to take over just because they're not in Russia anymore? How big is Dagestan? What would you say, 30 miles, 40 miles? What are they doing there?
They're fighting each other.
It's weird, right? Yeah. You have all these republics.
2.9 million people, area of 19,400 square miles. It's not very big.
No, not at all. Therefore, you're going to have all these weird guys from these countries. But I will say this, they're all training together and they're all going to fucking annihilate one another and help each other win.
I mean, look, if you fucking...
Mogamed is my pick.
If you look at all the absolute studs that came out of Brazil because of the Gracie family, like, I mean, Anderson Silva, for example, although he was a Muay Thai based fighter, he still, you know, came from Latin America. Like, he building a culture like that of fighting, one, it gets kids. So Khabib's been around for a little while now,
right?
I don't know how old this guy is, but he may have grown up watching Khabib in his early days, because look, when we don't normally notice somebody until they're in their mid-20s to mid-30s, right? That's when Americans notice people, because there's so many great athletes here. But from Dagestan, there's not a whole lot of people in the national stage. As soon as Khabib started winning fights, everybody there was like, I'm going to start fucking fighting.
Correct.
And we're going to start seeing more and more people out here. Actually, in 2018, our buddy Forrest Griffin spent a lot of time over there on the Eurasian continent looking for new talent. It was in Russia included. And it was a big deal for them to do that, because they saw how good Khabib was and that there was a fighting culture over there. So, look, man, we might see a string of these guys.
You are.
Call them to start dominating.
Dude, I can promise you are. And it's going to be like Dominicans in baseball.
Yeah.
Where you're just like, all right, great. This is what it is. But that's the beauty of the UFC, is it is a global sport. I know everybody pretends to be a global sport. The UFC actually is one. Whereas, you know, you take the NHL, shit, it's all Canada and Russia at that point. But
Sweden, Finland, a little bit of America. Yeah, but mostly Canadian,
tiny
Russian.
Bit,
yeah.
But it's like, you know.
And look, the NBA's opened up too. Like, it was a novelty back in the day to have a Vlade Divac or a Peja Stojakovic or any of those guys. Now it's like every team has a fucking Euro guy.
Everybody wants Luka. Right?
Everybody wants Giannis and Luka and fucking, I mean, come on. They're two of the top five players of the goddamn NBA right now. NBA is global. Baseball is America and Central America. And then MMA is totally global. Like, fighting is fighting. Yeah. It's mixed martial arts. It's the same everywhere. The same rules for everybody else.
Works everywhere
in
the world.
You can fight in K1. You can fight in fucking Bellator. You can fight wherever the fuck you want. But once you come to the UFC, the rules are the same. Everybody's fighting on the same playing field. And your style and your skill either work or they don't.
Yep. Last up on this card. We're only doing main cards, by the way. Whenever we do these UFC prediction shows, we only do main cards only. The rest of that shit, it is really hard to bet on.
Mm.
I would not recommend it unless you know the fighters personally themselves.
Or unless John Anik tells us offline who to bet
for. Yeah, otherwise, man, I wouldn't do it.
He'll never tell us who to bet for, by the way. He'll just be like, look, here's what I think. But don't take my word for it. And also, I'll never say this out loud in front of anybody.
Well, he's not allowed to.
Yeah.
And I get it. Is this John Dodson fight versus Mirab? God, these last names, man. Devishlisvi.
Nope.
Not even close, right?
We have no idea how to say that.
Devishlisvi. Devishlisvi. This is another guy, Dagestan guy, right? Yeah, dude. It's the same fucking. I'm going Dagestan.
He's from. He's actually from Georgia, from Tbilisi.
Georgia?
Yeah.
The Republic of Georgia, right?
Yes.
Another fucking offshoot of Russia.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Same. I'm going. I'm going Mirab. I think he's going to go Chernobyl on this guy. don't know why I turned it into an Italian like Rocky Balboa sitch, but I did.
I don't know. His trainer is Matt Serra, though, who is, I believe, isn't he a Hall of Famer?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's also a judo guy, not a jiu-jitsu guy, which is it's a little bit different take on things. But I'm all in on him. I just don't know how to say his goddamn name.
Me neither.
I think he's going to win probably in the first two rounds, but I have no idea how to say his name. So I apologize. I'm not John Anik. He has a twin.
Never pretend to be.
He is a twin. He doesn't look in any. Actually, I'm a lot much
identical
larger.
Identical or fraternal?
It's identical, yeah.
Really?
We talked about this on the show
before.
Freaks
me out, dude.
Yeah, it is weird, yeah.
Freaks me out.
Yeah.
Oh, you mean John, yes.
John Anik.
I thought you meant Mirab. Oh, no.
If yeah. If I was a professional athlete and I had a twin like the Morrises in basketball, Markeith and Marcus,
yeah.
I would switch all the time.
Same.
Just for fun, dude.
Wives, like, everything, girlfriends.
Yeah. Especially if you were like, let's say both your teams have been eliminated from playoff contention, I would just start switching.
That's it. Hey, man, let me play in the NBA playoffs.
Yeah.
It'd be rad.
Yeah.
It'd be fucking rad.
Give me one game.
These are our
picks. You think somebody would do that? We should make a movie.
Great.
Where it's a twin who like always was chasing the dream, but could never make it. It's kind of like Field.
I told you my twin story here with my buddy.
Yeah, it's my idea is kind of like
Pedro. It was Pedro from Napoleon Dynamite.
Oh yeah, yeah. He does it. Well, so does Gallagher. Gallagher does that shit too. His act.
Identical twin. Yeah.
No, but my story. This would be like Field of Dreams, where the Doc gets to come play the one game.
Moonlight Graham.
Moonlight Graham. Yeah. Archie Graham, he gets to play the one game, but like a fucking movie where it's two brothers, they play in the NBA. One of them never got to win. He just played on shitty teams his whole career, and they switch at the end, or any sport. That'd be a good one. What do you think?
I like it a lot. Me personally, I think I'm going to name a fantasy football team Moonlight Graham this year, and because I don't know if we're going to get to play this or if we're living in a sim world. What's happening now at this point? But I'm a big fan of that idea.
Well, Clevenger's in trouble.
Yeah.
From the Indians. He's one of the better pitchers in the league, probably top five starters in the league. He and a fucking buddy decided to go out on the town in Chicago.
Lick puss.
Yeah, I get it.
I did too.
This is why I think.
You can't control college kids. That's why they were worried about the coronavirus.
I don't know if this is real or not, but there's this rumor in the military there used to be something called morale platoons. And morale platoon is code for hookers.
Oh, yeah.
Like the military, particularly for high tempo, like direct combat operators of some sort, whether it be infantry or special operators or rangers or whatever, would bring in, not obviously any time recently, but back in the day, World War II or before that, or even like, I mean, I know the Romans did this for the legions and their auxiliary forces. They would bring in to keep people from fucking going back and doing stupid shit and leaving the fight. They would just bring booze and drugs and pussy to them.
Yeah. Which is what should happen.
The NBA bubble. I actually talked to a couple of sex workers about this. One stripper and one that's something other than a stripper that's a sex worker.
Sure.
Recently. And I was like, can you imagine? What if the NBA posted a job posting for sex workers to go to the bubble right now? And they were like, oh, yeah.
Flooded.
Dude, you could retire. If you're a woman.
Yeah.
That does sex work, you could fucking retire after this 3 month period for sure.
Crazy, right?
Because holy shit. I mean, homeboy went to get goddamn wings at the strip club.
Lemon, you know, Pepper, I mean? Lou. Best nickname of all time, by the way.
Look,
Lemon Pepper Lou Williams.
He went to look at titties.
Yeah, but he loved the wings too.
Oh man.
He's a big wing guy.
Don't eat at a strip club, by the way, if you can help
it. Worst food ever, dude. The popcorn shrimp is terrible. Lots of grease in it. Let's get to the drinking bro of the week, shall we? This one was submitted by Jeff Asher from Illinois. Drinking bro for 1 year. He's nominating Charles Lund. He says, good friend and fellow Marine brother Charles Lund is fighting a very rare form of testicular cancer that has spread throughout his entire body. Charles served in the Marine Corps from 1996 to 2000. After his time in the Corps, he continued to serve his country as an EMT in the Columbus, Ohio area. I've had the opportunity to see Chuck, aka Lolo, as we referred to him in the Marine Corps, since we got out, and we remain in touch on social media, as do all of my Marine brothers. Charles has a one-year-old daughter and needs a dad to be by her side for years to come. So, cheers. The family's created a GoFundMe. Michelle Marte And so you can check that out if you go to GoFundMe. And thanks for nominating Charles for the DB of the Week, because the world cannot afford to lose another warrior and a lifesaver like him. Cheers, man. Absolutely. Look, we never know when we're going to read or what's going to be in these when we read them live on air. But, man, that sucks, dude. Our thoughts are out there. Go to that GoFundMe if you can. And cheers. You can send all of your Drinking Bro of the Week submissions to drinkingbros.com. We've got some merch on there. We don't go hard enough on the merch. We've got some like butter soft teas. All of our shit's like $19.99 on there.
Yeah.
You can go there and that is where you submit your Drinking Bro of the Week. There is a special submission form that gets emailed directly to us. And the beauty of it is we read them live. So like they're never pre-glossed over. We never know what we're going to get. And whatever happens, happens. So we read this live on air. D'Anthony, looking forward to the fights on Saturday night, my man.
It's going
to
be, this is going to be the best card, I think, since the opening, like when the comeback happened, the first fucking fights.
Ooh,
I think
this is the best one.
Yeah.
Gambling-wise, it is. I can tell you that.
Stipe, fucking Cormier, and then O'Malley fighting right there is enough for me. That's a great fucking card, regardless of what happens down ballot. And you got Junior Dos Santos still on the fucking Dagestani kids.
I know, it's crazy. Like
it's going to be a great fucking night on Saturday.
Super amped about that. We are in Austin, Texas. Our studio is getting built as we speak. In the meantime, we'll be going live with you here over the course of the next week through D'Anthony's new condo. Mm. Go right through it, because that's basically what we're seeing. We're seeing right through the windows here.
Well, I mean, Google's right there.
I know.
So...
so we're going right through this place.
And somewhere right down there is where Alex Jones was screaming at people through a bullhorn earlier today.
About an hour ago.
Yeah.
We're amped about that. We got to get Alex back on the show.
As soon as our studio's built, we'll have him back on the show.
Fuck yeah. Go to mybookie.com, promo code DrinkingBros, double your deposit, and bet on these fights with us. Go to Drinking Bros Sports on Facebook. Sign up. It's free. And you can see our actual bets on there. And I'll be dropping those bets late tonight or early tomorrow, so you can see what I'm actually putting my money on. For D'Anthony Holloway, I'm Ross Patterson. This is the Drinking Bros Sports Companion Show. Good night, everyone. Nah.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.